Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Ethos Limited Q1 FY24 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Pranav Saboo, CEO from Ethos Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us on Ethos Limited Q1 FY24 earnings conference call. I hope everyone had a chance to view our financial results and investor presentation, which were recently posted on the company's website and stock exchanges. I am accompanied by our Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Yashovardhan Saboo, and our CFO, Mr. Ritesh Agarwal, and SGA, our investor relations advisors, on this call today. FY24 has started on a positive note, and we are confident that this is a sustainable trend. We believe that the luxury watch demand will continue to remain robust and grow steadily. Our strategy and plan to gain market share without compromising profitability will continue, together with steady expansion of our product and brand portfolio. It is extremely heartening to see that the watch brand support this view of Ethos and have continued to extend full support to grow the Indian market with us. This is evident from the increase in marketing spending by brands, exclusive launches of timepieces for the Indian market, simultaneous launches of watches in India and the globe, and of course, better product allocation for India. Ethos is best placed to capitalize on this trend with its strong presence and understanding of the Indian luxury watch market. It is essential for us to continue our pursuit of elevating the luxury experience for our clients. We are in the progress of making significant investments in our showrooms during the year, as well as renovating existing boutiques. These investments, backed by our proven business model, impactful marketing, and dedication to client service, will help us grow the market and gain market share. Let me give you an overview of our Q1 performance. Revenue from operations is up by 33% to Rs. 230 crores from Rs. 170 crores in Q1 FY23. EBITDA for the quarter grew by 32% year-on-year to Rs. 38.6 crores in Q1 FY24. You will surely note that our margin has been impacted. This is solely due to a significant increase in the exchange rate between INR and CHF, which has changed from 82 to 83 in the first quarter of last year and Rs. 85.86 in December 22 to above or approximately 95 rupees now. That is a change of nearly 13% from December. About 75% of brands have now taken the price increase in accordance with the INR-CHF rate at 91, which was the average rate for the first quarter of the calendar. The balance 25% are still at 85-86 range of December 22. This unprecedented gap means that even as cost has increased, the selling price still needs to be revised by the brands. We expect that prices across brands will be corrected by January or earlier, and margin will be fully restored, and the effect of our margin expansion strategy will start to show up next year in great display. The forex hit was around 110 basis points in this quarter, over and above the 77 lakhs, which is payment related.
Profit after tax for quarter 1 FY24 was rupees 18.2 crores as compared to rupees 12.8 crores in Q1 FY23, which grew 42% on a year-on-year basis. Inventory days as on 30th June stood at 147 days. Gross debt stood at rupees 8.2 crores as on 30th June 2023. Cash and cash equivalents stood at 212 crores as on 30th June 2023. Before we go for the question and answer part of our discussion, allow me to discuss a few more points. At Ethos, mastery of luxury watches is synonymous with a commitment to product innovation and knowledge. This is enabled and leveraged with impact and effectiveness through the participation of our teams at renowned watch fairs in Switzerland. Our team is invited to these fairs by watch brands to learn more about their products and to give feedback. This enables us to a superior product portfolio to Indian consumers with refined service. We believe Ethos will lead the way of getting more brands and better products to India in the future. While expanding our operations rapidly, we continue to keep a close watch on costs. We maintain stringent cost controls to ensure an efficient operation, particularly rental costs. On a regular basis, we are assessing the performance of all retail stores and we take location-related decisions based on the performance of each store. We continue to pursue our growth strategy through a combination of targeted capital investment in showrooms and driving operational leverage. Let me now talk about the pre-owned market. This is a positive development for the retail market. This is a growing sector. While there has been some cooling down of the excessive heat in the international market, it remains an area of huge potential everywhere and especially in India. We are putting greater resources and marketing efforts to ensure full justice to the unique opportunity we have built in the pre-owned market. During quarter one, growth was impacted because our second movement boutique was non-functional for 2 months due to ongoing renovation and litigation of the mall that we are in. We expect it to be back on stream quite soon. Let me talk now about new boutiques. Around the end of last fiscal year, we had indicated that we have planned about 40 new openings in the next two fiscal years, of which 20 to 25 will be in the current fiscal. I am pleased to inform you that in the last quarter, we have opened 6 new boutiques and added 3 new cities, Surat, Bhubaneswar and Raipur on the Ethos map. I am pleased to inform you that we have several new openings coming up in the next quarter. Our first Remova boutique will be coming up in the Jio World Plaza Mall in BKC, Mumbai. As many as 6 boutiques will come up at Mall of Asia, the new super luxury mall in Bangalore. This includes 5 monobrand boutiques and 1 Ethos Summit multi-brand store. Furthermore, 2 stores, 1 multi-brand and 1 brand boutique will open at the Mall of Millennium in Pune. We will strengthen our position at Select City Walk in New Delhi with a new monobrand boutique opening very soon. In addition, new openings are in the pipeline for expanding our presence in Mumbai, Delhi NCR, Kochi and other new cities. We have also signed more brands for our portfolio. These are the Swiss brands Perolet, Eikipod, Eterna, and Alpina. The highly focused German brand Mulegast Glashütte and a unique hard-to-get brand from Belgium, Resonance, much loved and sought after by connoisseurs. These brands have some outstanding innovations in their product portfolio and significantly add to making the Ethos product and brand portfolio more comprehensive. I should mention Ethos will be the only retailer for these brands in India. We signed these brands with a long-term view. These are all exclusive brands and we believe will give positive impacts in the long term. We now have a strong portfolio of exclusive brands and we have many more brands that want to work with us exclusively in the future, which we will consider to work with. There is more good news, ladies and gentlemen. I am pleased to share with you what I consider, among so many positive advances, the most exciting development, the most exciting of all developments at Ethos. As many of you are aware, we recently acquired controlling majority of Silver City Brands AG in Switzerland, which acquired all the intellectual property assets of the iconic Swiss brand, Faberlova. Faberlova is the second oldest Swiss watch brand in history. I want to repeat that to underline the significance. It is the second oldest Swiss watch brand, established in 1737 with over 286 years of heritage. This was before electricity was discovered, before the British ruled India. Its history is storied. Its heritage in the world of horology is legendary. Our vision for Faberlova is to preserve and celebrate its remarkable past while infusing it with contemporary allure that resonates with current and future watch collectors. The management team in Silver City is now being selected, and together with them, we aim to re-establish Faberlova as a leading global Swiss watch brand, as it was in the decades past. Rest assured that we are committed to nurturing this long-term investment, and our effort will be directed towards creating timepieces that evoke the essence of Faberlova while sparking desire in watch aficionados worldwide. Together with our strategic partners, we are investing in a brand with a timeless heritage, and we are excited to see it flourish in the Ethos Watch Boutique network and retailers around the world. The focus will be on crafting exceptional timepieces that not only honor the brand's history, but also embody the aspiration of present and future watch collectors. In conclusion, let me quickly recap for you the gist of our efforts over the last decade to create a unique luxury retail story in India. Long-standing collaborative partnerships with the most prestigious and recognized luxury watch brands now being extended to other categories. Stunning boutiques with exceptional service to provide an unparalleled client experience. Cutting-edge marketing with a strong digital focus and a strong focus on storytelling. Finally, let me express my deep gratitude to each of you, our valued shareholders and analysts who have believed our story. I'd like to express my heartfelt gratitude to our brand partners, dedicated teams, location collaborators, and all stakeholders, internal and external, who have played an integral role in this successful quarter. However, the true credit for this monumental success goes to the robust Indian economy and the unwavering spirit of Indians who aspire to make a mark on the global stage. As our nation strides forward, we at Ethos take immense pride in being a part of this journey, echoing the dreams and aspirations of every Indian. Thank you for trusting us and joining us on this exciting voyage. With this, I would like to open a session for question and answers and invite our chairman to take over. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Devanshu Bansal from MK Global Financial Service. Please go ahead.
Hi, Devanshu.
Yes, sir. Hi. Thanks for the opportunity and many congratulations on a very strong quarter across all revenue, EBITDA, PAT front. Pranav alluded to this, but there has been a significant fall in prices of second-hand luxury watches globally. So wanted to understand better what is leading to such a fall in prices. And does this in any way have any read-through for our both new watch as well as pre-owned business? That's number one.
Devanshu, is this your only question or are there other questions as well? Why don't you ask all of them so we can answer together?
Sure, sir. Second, we have indicated about controlling stake in several Yuba. So the other larger company, Titan, sort of struggled in ramping up this brand. So what are the key learnings that we would like to implement and what is the kind of investments that we are planning to make to ramp up this brand? The third one is our ASP has encouragingly been increasing. So this time around it is 12% this quarter versus last year. And this is despite, I guess, we were of the opinion that some low-end watches will also sort of start coming into the picture now. So what is sort of driving this and what are our expectations for the coming quarters? I have more, sir. Maybe I will join back in the queue.
Sure. Okay. So your first question was on the prices of pre-owned watches. It's true, the prices of pre-owned watches worldwide have come down a lot. But it's very, very important to understand this in perspective. You know, in the initial times of COVID, the prices had gone up like 200% and 300%. There were many brands, and in those brands, several watches for which the retail price, suggested retail price was 100, and the price in the pre-owned market jumped up to 300 and 400. Now that is that is an overheated market, as everybody knew at that time, and that was not sustainable. So obviously that bubble had to subside. It has subsided. But what is sobering is to remember that what was 100, it went up to 300, and now it has come down from 300 to maybe 250 or 220, and people are seeing that it has declined from 300 to 200, but not realizing that the original price of the watch was 100. So I think it's froth which is going away. The substance is still very solid, and the basic arguments for the success of the pre-owned market are absolutely undented. The crazy purchase of watches in return for, you know, immediate gains of 100, 200, 300% is obviously not sustainable. And I think it's healthy for the market that the prices reflect a reality. And today, good brands in the pre-owned market still have good prices, and the demand, though corrected, is still going to grow pretty strongly, and especially so in India. So we are not at all worried on that account. Except, of course, that when there is a correction, then people don't know where it's going to stabilize and so on. So there's a little bit of this, let's say, disturbance in the market. But, I mean, all of you guys dealing in the stock markets are aware of these turbulences, and they take time to settle down, and the underlying trend actually is always there. The second question was regarding the controlling stake and about Sagar Luba and in Titan. Well, you know, I mean, Titan is one of the most fabulous companies in India, and their mastery in the watch business is unparalleled. I don't want to comment on, you know, what are the reasons why, they didn't continue with Sagar Luba or whatever. I can only say that we believe Sagar Luba to be an excellent brand with a huge potential. We don't know why what happened with Titan and why it happened, but we have a pretty clear idea of how we're going to develop it. Pranav already alluded to that. We are working on establishing the team. You have to know that it is a Swiss brand. It will always be managed. There will be Swiss watches produced in Switzerland. All the operations will be there. The marketing strategy, everything will be driven from Switzerland. And it's our job to find the right management team. We are in the process of doing that. And together with the team, we'll create the business plan, the product strategies. And of course, then we will come to know what are the kind of precise investments that are involved. We believe that with reasonable investments and a sound strategy and a good leadership in Switzerland, this will be a huge success, and the success will come pretty soon. Now, last question was regarding ASP. Yes, ASP is going up. It will continue to go up, but ASP is not our only focus. We believe that ASP, together with ASP, with our spread of boutiques into smaller cities, there will also be a growth of some of the entry-level brands, and the interplay of both higher number of more expensive brands as well as some addition in the mid-price and low-price categories, this will lead to a steady increase, though it may not be that fast as you saw in the first 3 years of, or in the first 2 years of COVID. But we expect ASP to continuously go up steadily.
Got it, sir. Sir, I have one follow-up question on Pavilipa. So you indicated that operationally, what kind of investments that will be there, you will get to know in a few quarters time. Just wanted to check if there will be any capital investment in terms of manufacturing capacity or something like that, which we will be making here.
It's a little early, it's a little premature, Devanshu, to say that, because there are several models, right? You can, of operating and creating Swiss watches, you can do it yourself. There are specialists, depending on what kind of products, what movements, what are the embellishments we do, what are the kind of handwork or specializations that are added. And these are details of product strategies which are extremely important. And, you know, these are things which we can decide only once we have the brand, we have the full chance, and our team in Switzerland will have the full chance of studying the history, the full heritage, what is the marketing material. You know, there are a huge number of patents at the Watch Museum in La Chaux-de-Fonds in Switzerland. There are some examples of old Pavarlouba watches and the patents that they had, which are absolutely remarkable. And, you know, these are not fully known. For example, Pavarlouba made Bivouac, which was the first watch mechanically to measure altimeter. It was Pavarlouba, which was worn by the wrist on the wrist by Junko Tabei, the first woman who conquered Everest, who climbed Everest. So there is a huge heritage. We are still discovering it. Our team in Switzerland, once they're in place, they have to discover it. They have to interpret it, how they're going to use it to create the new product portfolio. It's going to be very interesting, but very hard work. But when it finally comes out, I can guarantee you, it will shine brightly and you would love it.
Got it, sir. Then this is really encouraging. I have more questions. I'll join back in the queue.
May I just add in a few points on all these questions, because I feel that these questions will be repeated in future questions. I do want to say that there's a lot of talk about correction of second-hand watches. I do want to underline the fact that it is limited to less than 7-8% of the brands that we operate with, where these corrections are happening, and that too in about 20 to 25% of their collection of these 7-8% of the brand. So there is a lot of pieces which were known as hype pieces, which have corrected a little bit, but a large percentage of the majority of our business continues to be unimpacted. That is, the second-hand or the pre-owned watch business continues to be unimpacted in pricing in these watches. So yes, there is a lot of media coverage that wants to cover a few pieces that went up 300% and has corrected 20%, but the majority of the business was not these time pieces and it remained unaffected by that. And secondly, on Pavarlouba, I do want to say that we will always make a plan that is exciting for all our stakeholders, consumers, as well as the people who are investing behind the brand, and there will be financial prudence in all our decision making. I believe that we have unique skills, right? We have skills that are different from previous owners of Pavarlouba. We have great respect for them. I do believe that our luxury niche and focused our focus on luxury gives us unique skills, and perhaps it fits better in a business of a smaller size like ours than it did for previous owners, which we have deep respect for and are giants today in our consumer business world. Thank you.
Thank you, Pranay.
Next question is from the line of Rahul Agarwal from InCred Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon, good evening, and hi. Thank you for the opportunity. So, three questions. Firstly, on both of the businesses, MeWatch and CPO, any material change in our thoughts versus what we had planned a year back? Example could be like something like Trevor Luba, obviously happened. Anything else you'd like to highlight, like your thoughts on watch and jewelry together going forward? Inventory management is pretty much the same across new watch billing and CPO, or is it any different? Or any other new thought which you have, which you think can, you know, make things better than what we thought earlier? That's my first question. Second was on margins. So obviously, Pranav alluded that margins should get better once pricing correction happens. My sense was, obviously, there will be some basic impact of new store openings as well, because the OPEX will go up in sync. My sense was, post-Ind AS, pre-Ind AS, however you want to look at, margins should largely sustain in this band, which is what is it currently, for the rest of the year. So just any thoughts on that? And lastly, if I can get the number from Ritesh on new watch and CPO sales, both including and excluding GST, please. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Rao. you know, in terms of new learning, both for new watches and CPO, I can't really think of anything. I mean, our strategy was pretty clear. We have implemented that strategy. The operations team has done a fabulous job to do that. Of course, as you go along, there are changes in the environment, and I think we've been flexible to adapt to them. When there are opportunities, we've grabbed them. Where sometimes things have not panned out exactly as we had thought, I think we've covered up using, you know, whatever means we had. And that's the reason why we can be happy that, you know, we are actually quarter after quarter, we are able to share results that are actually ahead of whatever we had expected and also ahead of the guidance that we have been giving from time to time. So nothing really new to share at the moment, except that, you know, as and when things happen, of course, we will share all the news with you as our partners. As far as your margins question is concerned, I think on margins, we, you know, of course, there is the impact of new stores and some OPEX leading the sales. So that impact is, of course, there. But you will see an impact also on the gross margin, and the gross margin is purely a result of the exchange rate. To the extent that there's an impact at a bigger level, there it could involve some OPEX issues as well, OPEX costs as well. As far as the prices and of new and CPO watches are concerned, I think I'll let Ritesh do that, but can we get back to you on this later, Rao? There is a long list of other people who want to ask questions, and you know, this is something which we can connect separately on.
Sure, not a problem. Thank you so much for answering my questions. All the best.
Thanks, Rao. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Bhavya Sonavla from Samsa Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Hope I am audible. Hello.
Yes, you're audible.
Yeah, so I just have two questions. The first question is with respect to
So the line for the participant dropped. We move on to the next participant.
Yes, please.
Next question is from the line of Ankush Agarwal from Surge Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thank you for taking my question and congrats on a great set of numbers. Firstly, a couple of data points. What was the SSG for the quarter, share of exclusive brands in terms of revenues, and a clarity that the 6 stores that we have opened, this has been before June. So number of stores that were opened and number of stores, if any, that we have closed during the quarter.
Right. So let me answer the last one first, very easy. Yes, these 6 stores were opened in the period April to June. And the count which you see now is that. if I'm not mistaken, no store was opened in July.
Okay.
No store has been opened in July, but there are more openings coming up. SSG for this quarter has been, just 1 minute, has been 23%. It's a very, very good figure. And the share of exclusive brands has been 30%.
30%.
Okay.
And secondly, again on this strategy of acquiring a Swiss brand, would it be possible for you to share, you know, the current state of this brand? Because I think the cost that you have paid to acquire the brand is quite minuscule. So was it a defunct brand? If you have any history to share, like at a point of time where it was doing good, it went under, like any history that you can share that would help us understand more, like how we can grow this brand.
It's, you know, that's a question that requires a 1.5 hour presentation, because the history of brand over the last 280 years is so, so fabulous. But if you fast forward it, I mean, the brand was active until 2019. And after that, during the COVID years, it went into, let's say, it was inactive. And I mean, then in the last quarter, we purchased the brand. Or SCB, Silver City Brands purchased it, and we have controlling interest in the Swiss entity.
So would can we assume that this is one of the many brands that Ethos might look to hold in its own portfolio in the very long run, or this is just I think one opportunity that you?
That's not by the way, Ankur, sorry, that's not really the idea to hold a lot of brands. I think we have to understand that you know, to nurture a brand, it requires a lot of effort, it requires a lot of mind, of course, financial engagement as well. And our goal is not really to amass a whole bunch of brands, but, you know, if we acquire a brand, or if we take controlling interest in a brand, or even if we invest in a brand, even without controlling interest, as we've done in one case, I think we want to contribute to that brand becoming a huge success at a global scale. And therefore, I think it's quality more than just number of brands. What will give us great satisfaction is if the brand Faber Luba really achieves the fame that it had at a global level several decades ago. And we believe that's completely possible. Does it mean that we will not acquire or acquire interest in or controlling interest in any brands in the future? We can't say. But there is nothing as of now that is on the cards. Our focus is really to make this brand a huge success.
Okay, all right. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Bhavya Sonavla from Samsa Capital. Please go ahead.
Welcome back, Bhavya.
Yeah, sorry for before, sir. So basically, I had two questions. The first question was with respect to Faber Luba. Will we keep these watches with, probably showcase these watches with the other retailers in India and probably internationally over time? And my second question is, when we come with exclusive brands and set up a store in association with them, like we did with Jacob & Company, what is the kind of agreement, or is there any difference in a normal store and, you know, exclusive store with brands?
So, you know, for Faber Luba, what I can say is that the ambition of the brand is to regain its global presence. What will be the policies for India is something that the brand has to decide once, you know, they're ready to take that decision. And that will be a decision that's going to happen in Switzerland when the time comes. But for sure, the ambitions are to make it a global brand. And of course, Ethos, having controlling interest, we not only are interested in the brand, but of course we have great plans for it in India as well. As far as the exclusive brand boutiques are concerned, well, you know, in the sense that typically brands, when they establish a exclusive boutique, they make available exclusive boutique editions to that. There is a lot more marketing concentrated around the exclusive brand boutique. Because in a way, that's not only a place to make those products available, but it's also to showcase of the and the prestige of the brand. So it plays a dual role, not only to sell watches, but also to present and establish the preeminence of the brand. And to that extent, of course, there are separate terms. Typically, there could be some separate terms for a monobrand boutique compared to participation in the multi-brand stores.
Okay, understood. Thank you, sir.
May I use this opportunity to give one example of the Jacob boutique that has been given. We were able to design a product with Jacob because we work exclusively. We also have rights for exclusive editions for India. These exclusive editions for India have done extremely well. For the launch of the boutique, we celebrated it with the launch of an 11-piece Jacob in steel, Epic X, at 26 lakh rupees MRP. 11 pieces were sold in under 36 hours. On Wednesday, we are going to launch the gold edition of this, another 11 pieces at 56 lakhs, which will also, we believe, be sold by the end of the month. I think that these give us extremely good opportunities and long-standing relationships with these brands. Jacob himself will be coming down into India for a large event, which will be a star-studded event in October. So it gives us much greater, they are able to give us much greater focus, and it allows us to do business in an unprecedented manner because the boutique gives us this leverage. Thank you.
Okay. So is it fair to assume that the pieces available in the exclusive stores majorly won't be available in any other multi-brand stores that we have, right?
No, it gives us the opportunity to do this. It will be available there, but okay. The priority goes to the boutique.
Understood.
Yeah, because we don't want to be limited by, let's say, it's 11 pieces this year. Next year we'll do a larger edition, but it is the boutique that gives us the right to be able to design these pieces along with Diego.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. Next question is from the line of Abhishek Agarwal from Naredi Investments. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Thanks for giving the opportunity and congrats on good number. Am I audible, sir?
Yes, you are, Abhishek.
Okay. Sir, I have two questions. First, there is a supply side constraint on costly watches as few manufacturer and buyer are more. How you deal this situation? Second question, what is the cost of showroom open in Raipur like and in how much time it comes in break-even point? Third question, what growth in top line and bottom line we expected in next few years? And last question, average selling price going up every year after year and quarter after quarter, where you see in next 3 year time period? That's all my question.
Thank you, Abhishek. First question was regarding supply side constraints. Now that's the reality of the luxury watch business. Luxury watches are not automatically produced on assembly lines where you can just speed it up. There is a huge amount of designing content that goes, the manufacture of components, the assembly, the design of the watch, and putting together by skilled watchmakers in Switzerland. Now these, you cannot just invent these, they are already working full out. And the demand has gone up a lot. As you know, in India as well as everywhere in the world, the demand for premium and luxury watches has gone up a lot. It's not really possible to maintain the same quality, the same exclusivity, and churn out larger productions. That's not the philosophy of the brands. So unfortunately, supply side constraints is a reality that we will have to live with. And it's not only in the luxury watch business. If you have read about the luxury car business, it is the same situation in some of the other luxury businesses. Supply sides are constrained because if demand goes up suddenly, it is not possible to increase supply suddenly. So we have to live with it. We have to understand that if you want to invest, if a customer wants to invest in a luxury brand, there might be waiting involved. And I think it also adds to the respect and the prestige of the brand when, things are not just available and, you can ask for a discount or anything like that. So I think this is going to be the way things are. We have to manage within that. And I think we are doing that pretty well. Your second point was how long does it take for stores to break even? again, it depends a little bit on when the store opens, what is the situation in the mall when it opens, but largely, broadly, we can say that our stores become profitable within the first year. At a store operational level, they become profitable within the first year. You asked for what is the top line and bottom line going to be in the next year. I really can't answer that. However, I have mentioned it before that our long-term goal is to grow at least 20% CAGR. We always will try to do better than that and try to go as close to 25% CAGR. And I think that's the range that we are forecasting for the top line growth. And bottom line, of course, should be around that or a little bit better. That's all that we can say at this moment. But as we go along, you will see, you will see how quarter after quarter works out. And hopefully we will not only be able to keep to this CAGR of 20% plus, but actually do a bit better. And your last question was, where do we see the ASP going? That's also difficult. I think these are not numbers that we can predict. What we can say is that ASP will continue to go up. We, it went up very sharply during the COVID period, mainly because we reduced the emphasis on lower price points. That is done, so we believe it will go up a little more gradually from now on, but it will continue to go up. Let's wait and see where it lands up in 3 years' time, but it will certainly be higher than where it is today. Thank you, Abhishek.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Nirav Savai from Avakis Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and very congratulations for your excellent set of numbers. I have three questions. One is on the initial remarks which were made on the renovation and modernization side. So annual budget, if you can highlight, which would be allocated towards that, which would be the part of OPEX. Second is this acquisition of 6.25% stake in another Swiss company, which is Ote Raiwa. So what exactly is the purpose of that? And lastly, revenue contribution from this online billing this quarter. So in the last quarter, you used to give how much revenue has come from online, what is the revenue of, second watches, pre-owned watches. So I found it missing this time. So if you can just give those details, please.
Sorry, Nirav, can you just say what was your first question? I didn't get that clearly.
No, so how much would be spending behind the renovation and modernization of our existing stores, which was highlighted in the earlier remarks that there will be some spending behind renovation of stores as well.
Right. So you will understand that there will always be renovation of stores in an ongoing process. We have now 60 stores, and typically within 4 to 5 years, a store needs to be renovated. How much we spend depends on what is the level of renovation. Is it a small renovation? Is it a complete renovation? If it's a complete renovation, it's like almost like setting up a new store. If it's a small renovation, then it could be, 20, 30 or 40% of setting up a new store. So that really depends very much on the stores coming up. And, what at that particular location, are you upgrading the store to new brands? Are you keeping the same set of brands? So it's very difficult to put a standard number at that. But typically, for example, I think we have allocated something like about 3.5 to 4 crores for the renovation of the stores that will be coming up. Your second question was regarding the investment of 6.25% in the equity of Ottery. Ottery is again a Swiss brand. It's a new brand, but created by a very, very talented watchmaker who has a third generation history of watchmaking. And he, who is the founder, he has a very unique concept to create some new, highly complicated watches. And these watches will be unveiled in the last quarter of this year. And we believe they will be a great success. And for us, getting this 6.25% stake in the equity enables us to be a part of this brand's journey get allocations of the brand for India, which will be beneficial. And lastly, also to understand the high-end watchmaking space from the inside. So it's also of a strategic value. As far as the online and business is concerned, I want to highlight that, you know, we do not distinguish anymore between online and offline. And I think most retail businesses you will find will stop to do this, because this distinction between online and offline is no longer relevant. It is omnichannel. Customers go seamlessly between online and offline. They'll go to a store, they'll go to the website, they'll go to social media. Everything is one omnichannel platform. So we don't really monitor online and offline that much anymore. So I'm not going to be able to give you those online numbers separately. We believe that omnichannel is the right way to address this business.
Right. On this pre-owned side, if you can just pass out with some number, that what are the sales of pre-owned?
Just 1 minute. So quarter one in the pre-owned business has grown by about 15%. This is lower than what we had projected, which our CEO had mentioned. That's because the second movement lounge, which is dedicated for this business, was not operative for nearly 2 months due to a problem at the mall where it is located. However, we expect it to be operative soon.
Right. So broadly, our guidance of about reaching about 200 crores of size in the next 3 to 4 years is still intact, right? I mean, despite the correction of...
I have not given that guidance. I am not giving guidance for 3 to 4 years with a number.
I do want to say that we are very confident of growing rapidly in pre-owned watches. We don't see a structural challenge over here.
Right. That's true. All right. So that's it from my side. Thank you very
much.
Thank you. I wish you all the best.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Sharanya Agarwal from Param Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Congratulations on such a good set of numbers. Really excited.
I said good afternoon, sir.
Yeah. I'm really excited for the journey ahead. I had a question about us entering the luxury jewelry market. So currently we have Messika on current portfolio. So I wanted to know if they're going to expand existing brands product portfolios, because a lot of them already do luxury jewelry, or we want to add new brands such as Van Cleef and others who are in the realm of luxury but not present in India and who have a significant demand. And since luxury jewelry is expected to grow a lot in the future as like your per capita income grows, is that a segment that we would be interested in exploring more deeply?
Okay. Do you have any other questions, Saranya?
No, that was the only one.
Okay. So, you know, it's true, there is a lot of opportunity in many, many luxury segments. But after a detailed study, our understanding is that actually the opportunity of growth in the premium and luxury watch segment where we are is unparalleled. And therefore, we believe that our priority at this time is to focus, to maximize, to extract the maximum growth and profitable growth from the premium and luxury watch segments. And this is going to be our greatest focus right now. Jewelry, for sure, jewelry has a great scope, branded jewelry. However, I think over the next few years, it will be a slow takeoff, and it will come into its own probably a couple of years down the line. We are conscious about that, and we will take positions accordingly. But as I mentioned, our primary focus at this time is going to be to really extract the best possible we can from what is the highest potential growth market in the luxury business, and that is premium and luxury watches.
That makes sense. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Devanshu Bansal from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the follow-up opportunity. Sir, as we learned from other retailers, this time around wedding season was very bad and was hit poorly, hit badly due to low number of wedding days. And from my understanding, suggests that your business is also sort of linked to wedding sort of business in some way. So despite such challenges, we have delivered about very strong growth in this quarter. So just wanted to understand, is according to you, this growth was a normal growth, or it would have been even better if weddings were there in full flow?
Yeah, Devanshu, I'm not really monitoring whether weddings were in full flow or not. I think in India, weddings are always in full flow, sometimes a little less, sometimes a little more. But if you're saying that, you know, this time the wedding season was subdued and it's going to catch up later, let me use our desi phrase, aapke muh mein ghee shakkar, and I'm sure that if the wedding season takes off better than the last one, then our results will also take up. There is a strong correlation between wedding buying and, you know, luxury product sales.
Right. Okay. Got it. And typically, sir, what is the sales salience for Q1? Last year, it was about 22%. Is this a stable thing, or so any thoughts on that?
I didn't catch that question. Can you say that again?
I'm saying, what is the typical sales salience for first quarter? Last year it was 22%. Is it normally in that range?
Yeah, it's about the same.
Got it. And this 6 store openings in Mall of Asia, by when is this expected to come in which quarter?
Well, the mall has announced that it will be ready in the last quarter of this calendar year. And we are aiming to be ready to launch by that time. But typically we have seen that mall dates can sometimes vary and slip depending on, you know, other main retailers taking place. So as of now, it's scheduled for the last quarter of this calendar year. So quarter three for this fiscal.
Got it. And sir, last question from my end. These mono brand boutiques, I understood you were indicating, but still, at the sales and return level, these stores are comparable to the other MBO stores that we have, or they have some difference?
I think if you take an average, they are about the same. If you take an average of all the mono-brand boutiques and you take an average of all the multi-brand stores, it's about the same. Of course, between mono-brand boutiques, there would be differences. Just like between mono-brand stores, multi-brand stores, there are differences. It depends on the brand, it depends on the location, it depends on, you know, how much the brand is pushed, how well it is known, and so on.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much for taking.
Thank you. Thank you, Devanshu.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Shalini Gupta from East India Securities. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Sir, I had my first question is that you saying that your ASP is 1,60,000. But sir, you're also saying that you're retailing watches which are like 10 lakhs, 12 lakhs. So what is it that is bringing your ASP down to this level? Is it is it because of the discounts that you have to offer on watches which are not selling? Sometimes, could you please discuss why it is so low?
You have other questions, Shalini?
Yeah, what is the average age of the inventory we have?
Okay. Anything else?
No, that's it.
Okay. It is true we are selling watches of 10 lakhs, 20 lakhs and even 1 crore. But we are selling a lot more watches in the price point of 40,000, 50,000, 1 lakh and so on. So as you know, average is an average of quantity multiplied by average price. So if I sell one watch of 10 lakhs but 5 watches of 50,000, it's easy to do a calculation that the average will be around 1,60,000. It has nothing to do with discounts, because when we say the average price is 1,60,000, that's post discount, and when we say that we are selling a watch for 10 lakh, that's also post discount. And discounts are certainly not that, you know, they'll bring an average price from 10 lakhs to 1,60,000. Our discounts are typically they range from, you know, between zero to a high of 20%, but that's the range of discounts. So it's really a matter of how many, what's the number of watches that you sell at different price points. And it's logical that we will sell a lot more of the lower price band than in the higher price band. For example, Mercedes will sell fewer S-class Mercedes than E-class and C-class, right? And it's exactly the same thing. As far as the average inventory is concerned, I can tell you that more than 80% of our inventory is less than 1 year old.
Yeah, so just a follow-up, like you said that, can you just discuss, like, you know, because you're buying out the watches, and there'll be some watches which are not getting sold. So what do you do with these watches?
We sell them. There are no watches that remain unsold. It is not, I want to underline this, it is not, if we are not in the fashion watch business. You're seeing this from a fashion business segment where, you know, trends change, fashions change, and a collection becomes unsellable. In the business of premium and luxury watches, watches remain on the catalog for 5, 10, mostly 15, even 20 years. So even if there is a watch which is 2 years old, it doesn't mean that it's out of fashion. It will still sell. It may take a little bit longer. And, you know, that's a question that the auditors of our company, prior auditors were KPMG, now it's Ernst & Young. They constantly examine this, and so far there has not been the need to make any significant provisions because they've seen that watches, eventually they always sell out.
Okay, and sir, how do you keep your inventory fresh? Like, how frequently would the person visiting your online portal or your physical store hope to see something new?
That depends on the brands. So, you know, when we add, if we add a new brand, of course, you'll see the collection of that brand, which is fresh. And in the existing brands, as and when brands add new models, you will see them. They don't really take off too many models. And unlike the fashion watch industry, they're not adding, you know, a huge number of new models every year. It's a much more nuanced portfolio of products, where there are some fresh products, but a large number of the existing products also continue.
And sir, what is the reason for such high inventory days? I was looking at the balance sheet of some international brands. The inventory days are actually much higher than what, I mean, looks like the international norm. That's what it seems like to me.
I want to explain this because I feel it's a relevant question. We are, as a company, these international players are much older. And with time, we will also get to similar numbers or lower than where we are today. Today, we are investing into the future. When we sign on a brand, in the last 2 years, we have signed on 19 brands. These brands are exclusive brands. They will fire 2 or 3 years later. When we reach that stage of maturity, they will start, the number of days starts to go down. These where you are looking at 3 or 4 months, where our brand portfolio is significantly more diversified and key dependence on brands is also much lower. We can bring down the days if we don't bring a new brand, for example, into our portfolio. But at this point of time, we have decided that growth is more important and we continue to invest in new brands because the opportunity in India over the next 5 to 7 years is massive and we must be in a position to dominate that. To that extent, we continue to invest in new brands. Over to you, Vyas.
What is the minimum number of days of inventory that we can reach and therefore...
Your questions in one go because I feel like we are going one by one. If you have all your questions,
okay.
Perhaps
you please ask your question.
Okay, I'll tell you. So what is the minimum days of inventory that...
Yeah.
Hello? What is the minimum days of inventory that we can reach given that obviously... and rightly so, we have a focus on growth and we are therefore tying up with more brands. Question number one is, what is the minimum days of inventory that we can reach, therefore? And secondly, that you buy the product and even then you are very conscious of your relationship with the brands. Why is that? I mean, do you apprehend that they may stop selling you the quantity you want? What is it? These are my two questions.
Our CEO Pranav told you, I think overall in the long term we will start to see a decline in the number of days of stock. However, while we are in a fast growth expanding mode, which is likely to continue for the next 1 or 2 years at least, if not more, I don't see a very significant decline in the number of days of inventory. There are several reasons why inventories must remain high in India, because it's a fast-growing economy, we are adding brands, and we need to keep a large variety and stock to be able to grow this segment. So it's a trade-off between, do I want lower inventory or do I want higher growth? We are aiming for higher growth, at least for the next couple of years. And your second question was relating to
inventory not selling.
No, sorry. What was your second question, your last question?
My second question was that, so you're buying the watch.
Yes. Why is it necessary to have a good relation? We think it's always, you know, it's not a purchase that you make once and then it's over, right? You have a good relationship because, not only because it's a partnership that's going to last for years and decades, but it's also a nice way of doing business where you look after each other's interests. While it's a commercial transaction, but you do that. You know, our customers also buy a watch, and that doesn't mean that we don't keep a good relationship with them. They keep a good relationship with us, and we keep a good relationship with them. It's the same thing. You go to your Kirana store, and you buy things from them, but you still want to have a good relationship. You want to make, you know, if he will wish you, you will wish him. It's that. So I think it's a way of doing business. It is business, but it's not only transactional. So I think it's very, very important to keep this relationship. You know, it's also a matter of trust. This is a partnership. They are entrusting us with the well-being of their brand. We are, and they are entrusting us to expand their brand, and we are trusting them to give us their products and help us to grow. It's a quid pro quo, and therefore it needs a strong relationship. I hope I've answered your question, Shalini.
Thank you very much. Sorry, Shalini, but due to time constraint, we won't be able to take any more questions. I will now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you very much. I would like to thank all the participants in this call for your patient hearing, for the very interesting questions, and I hope to we hope to see you again at the next earnings call. Thank you once again and wish you a nice day.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Ethos Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.